Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to read verses 3 and 4 together. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. As you're finding your place, if you're able, please stand to your feet as we read the Word of God together in honor of the Word of God while we stand. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this instruction in the Word of God this morning. We pray as our pastor comes, you would anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power for the task ahead so that we'll get what you have for us today. Help us to be vessels that are willing to receive what you want to teach us today. God bless the preaching. Father, I pray if there's somebody listening on the internet or is in this room this morning that does not know Jesus as their Savior, they would trust Jesus today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, of course, we'll want you to turn your cell phone off or vibrate or whatever's necessary so it does not go off in the service. You do not want to mess around with your phones while the preaching's going on, please. We'd appreciate that also. I won't come over to your house and spit in the soup. You don't look at your phone while the preaching's going on. How about that, okay? Good. Hey, we live in a very complex day today. Yeah. You can talk to your watch. Right now, while you're sitting here, you could start your car in the parking lot. Think about it. You may have one of those setups where you can turn on the lights in the house, adjust the temperature, right? Unlock the doors without even being home. The old days it was called burglary. But can you imagine? Look at me, people. Can you imagine the complexity of our lives today compared to what it was 20, even 30 years ago? Pretty complex, isn't it? I was talking to my class this morning about just prayer, talking to God, just trying to get a hold of a human being on a telephone. It'll wear you out. Going through all the layers you have to go through. You call someone up, you don't get a human. You don't. They say, briefly tell us what you need. I always say, I want to talk to a human. I'm sorry, we don't have that. If you'd like to speak, get a hold of so-and-so, press 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, they give you like 9 numbers. And what do you get when you press 3? What do you get, people? Another layer. And then if you want this, you press 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You press 4, you get another layer. And then you get all the way to the end of all the layers and the numbers and everything else. And what happens? They hang up on you. I cannot tell you how many times I've sat at my desk and yelled at my telephone, just let me talk to a human being. And eventually you get them and they're in Afghanistan and you cannot understand what they're saying to you. It's unbelievable. That's just to call and get one thing taken care of. God help you if you try and call the government. That's a whole, listen, you better take a weekend and just get ready to lay down, pack a lunch, because that's going to take a while. Boy, we live in a complex society now. Remember the days when you used to go to an airport, you got out of the car, and you walked to the gate, and you got on an airplane, and you flew somewhere. I lived with my grandparents. If we went to pick somebody up at the airport, I lived with my grandparents, they made us wear a suit and a tie to pick someone up at the airport. I was in an airplane yesterday, my wife and I. There's people show up in their pajamas to get on the plane. Oh, yeah. And then you got to go through all the wanding and the reading thing and all the stuff that goes on. Oh, man, I was standing there one day in the line, and the TSA agent, this lady was standing there, and I was trying to get the stuff out of my pockets and get them in the tray and all that junk. She said, come on. I said, okay, just a second. I said, come on. I said, well, just a minute. She said, sir, you better come on. And I walked through, beep, go stand over there. And I went, God. I walked through and I got beeped one time. I went over and I sat down. And then this little lady, they set her down next to me. She looked like Aunt B from Andy Griffith. She was scared to death because they made her sit down. They were going to have to do the security stuff or whatever. I said, don't worry, ma'am. I said, it'll be fine. They're going to come over and they'll probably rub some stuff on your hands to see if you've been selling cocaine or something. Don't worry about it. You'll be all right. And she goes, well, did I do anything wrong? I said, no, ma'am, the only thing you did wrong was come to the airport. Other than that, you're fine, and you'll be all right, and I'll sit here with you, and we'll be okay. And they come over, and they rub the paper on her hand, ran through, okay, you're fine, went through there. I was coming back from overseas, and they stopped me in the airport in Boston and took my passport, and they said, okay, go see that man over there. And I went over there, and he takes my passport. He runs it through his little machine. He's looking at the screen. He's looking at my passport, looking at me. Screen goes, you've been in Boston before? And I said, well, I flew through here a couple times, I think. He goes, what were you doing in Boston? I said, well, I was preaching, as a matter of fact, to come here to preach. He goes, I got a Michael Ray Johnson, bank robber. I said, oh. He turns the screen around, and it was a black guy. I said, dude, that ain't me. He goes, yeah, yeah. And I went, oh, give me my passport. Please, please let me out of here before this man puts me in jail. How complex is our life today? You can sit in your recliner and Uber will deliver your food from the kitchen for you. I mean, it's unbelievable today. We got all these complexities of life. You say, I bet I know where you're going, Pastor Johnson. You're going to talk about keeping things simple. Yes! 10,000 times yes. 2022, ladies and gentlemen, if we don't need an old-fashioned transfusion of simplicity, I don't know who does, but we do. Look at verse number 3. Beware lest Satan beguile you of the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, that was a robe and sandals day, Pastor Johnson. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have the stuff that we have today. You know, but it doesn't make any difference what generation you would have lived in. I guarantee you every generation felt like their lives were getting to be too complex. And if you will notice something, ladies and gentlemen, it is the devil that beguiles us from the simplicity that is in Christ. God never intended our lives to be this complicated. You say, well, I can't do anything about it. It's the day in which we live. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Look at me. There are people in this room, ladies and gentlemen, who still have a phone that's connected to the wall. How many of you still got a phone connected to the wall? You got a landline. See that? See that? Most anybody over the age of 40 or 50. Rest of us, we got rid of that a long time ago. We live in the space age. You know, it's unbelievable today. The simplicity that is in Christ. We're going into 2022, people. We got these messages on Sunday morning are intended to help us to get headed in that direction. Brother Evans preached last week about keeping God first in your life. Important, essential ingredient to this year. Okay, let's do this morning. Let's do this. Let's take and have a kiss for this year. What is that? Here's the deal. Preacher was preaching at a church as a guest, and he saw on the pulpit big letters KISS on the pulpit. And he got up and he preached. He got done. He sat down with the pastor, the host pastor. He said, what is that? He goes, my wife put that up there. He goes, oh, you mean she wanted to give you a kiss, something sweet while you're preaching? He goes, no, it means keep it simple, stupid. Now, I'm not going to insult you, call you stupid this morning. Can we just have one letter S kiss on keep it simple? What do you say? People, look at me. Do you understand? Now, look at me, people. Never have our lives been more involved and yet less connected. Never have we been more plugged in to the world and less plugged in to each other. We got to spend some time with our some of our grandkids out there in South Carolina. 16, 14, and 12. Is that right? Huh? 16, 14, and 13? Phones. Yeah, phones. And believe me, they're not working the stock market. Right in front of them, constantly. The truth of the matter is, dear people, here's the deal. We let life become complicated. And I'm not talking about technology right now. I'm talking about your life, my life, and how we live it. When God told Adam and Eve, and if you'll notice in the context of the scripture, beware lest Satan beguile you as he did Adam and Eve. How complicated was it for Adam and Eve? Huh? What a wonderful day. They live in a garden. God made it for them. Look at me. He made it for them. Then he told them, you can have anything in this garden you want. I bet Chick-fil-A was open on Sunday back then. I mean, they could have anything they want, all the trees in the garden. He said, you could have all this. Watch this. He said, but this one tree hidden in the corner, this one tree, you eat of that tree, you're dead. Now, how uncomplicated was that? Huh? And what did they do? They messed it up. You know why? Because Satan came and said, now God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden, and started questioning what God said. Then he changed it a little bit, and then he just flat denied whatever God told him, right? But it started because they didn't just keep it simple. Adam's standing there, Eve, and the serpent comes and talks to her and says, had God said, and she said, well, we can't even touch that tree, but that's, she added to it. And Adam's standing there like a little boy. Yeah, yeah. And all you do is get a stick, beat that snake to death. We'd still be in the Garden of Eden. And Chick-fil-A would be open on Sunday. The truth of the matter is they stood there. Look at me, people. How simple could it be? Just that one tree, but if you eat of it, you're going to die. So he didn't just say, you know, it'd be nice not to die. He said, you eat from that tree, you're dead. People who were eternal, who are going to live forever. And they had one cotton picking rule, just one. And Satan beguiled them of the simplicity that's in Christ. Say, well, Pastor, we got a whole bunch of rules. Now look at this Bible, my soul. There's a ton of stuff in there you can and can't do. Ah, man, believable. I work in this lunch meat factory in South Chicago. What is it, church? There we go. And this, I was, they all knew I was going to Bible college to be a preacher, and I was working on this machine line on some things, and most of the ladies ran most of the equipment. And this one lady, she goes, preacher, what's the seventh commandment? Does anybody know what the seventh commandment is? Good. I didn't feel bad. I had no idea what it was. I just said, I could have said anything. Thou shalt not double park. She would have no idea what I was talking about. I said, I don't know what it is, but you can't do it. Try it again. Here's the thing. It was a rhetorical question. Here's the thing. Yeah, there's a lot of rules in the Bible. There's a lot of rules in life. There's a lot of things in life. So does that mean our lives are now more complicated because of? No, beware lest Satan beguile you of the simplicity that is in Christ. Let's do something 2022. Shall we just keep it simple this year? Simplify, simplify, simplify. One of the greatest old principles in business was to help businessmen, no matter what their lives were. You listen to some of these guys who are big movers and shakers of major companies, multi-million billionaires, and you listen to them talk, and they are simple in their minds, their thinking, with the exception of Elon Musk. It's simple in their minds and their thinking and what they do. It's incredible when you stop to think about it. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, this message is going to do you absolutely no good, because most of you are already thinking, you're wondering if you, did I turn the lights off when I got in the car? You're thinking about what, and our lives have become way too complicated. So let's keep it simple concerning our soul. Ladies and gentlemen, salvation is through Christ alone, period. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, period. That's it. Salvation is not I trust Christ and didn't live good. Salvation is I trust Christ because I didn't live good. He gives me salvation I didn't deserve by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, his finished work on Calvary. I trust him. I get saved. I'm saved. He keeps me saved. That's it. Simplicity of the soul. Then we have to wander around the rest of this year and think of, now, am I saved today or not? Am I not saved? What about this? What if I did that? How about this? What about those? No, I got it from the Bible. The Bible tells me, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Concerning your soul, let's keep it simple. Salvation is through Christ alone, period. No more, no less, no plus, no minus. It's just through Christ. I trust Christ as a hell-deserving sinner. He makes me a heaven-bound saint of God. That's how it is. That's what God says. John 3:16 still in the Bible. It's all still good. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Keep it simple. So then question, are you saved and are you certain? Have you settled that matter in your life? And do you, look at me this morning, and do you know that eternal life is yours and heaven is your home? Or is there a doubt in your mind? See, God doesn't want us to doubt that. He doesn't want us to doubt anything about our soul. He wants us to know, as 1 John 5:13 says, that you may know that you have eternal life, that we may know, have this thing settled in our minds. Let's keep it simple this morning. Well, by the way, let's keep it simple about anybody else's soul too. Hey, man's greatest need, I'm sorry, contrary to government thinking, isn't more government. Man's greatest need is salvation. Now look at me. You got somebody's life's not right. Here's what they need. They need Jesus. That's what they need. They need salvation. Salvation through Christ. So then when we look at, we've become so psychologically minded now. We've become so involved in people's interpersonal relationships with their life, their past, their upbringing, their childhood, where they come from, what their life was like, what kind of house they lived in, what kind of neighborhood they're from, what side of the tracks they were on, whether it was this side of the tracks or that side of the tracks, or God help me, it was on the tracks, whatever the case may be. We're all involved in people's lives today, and we think so much, I think we fail to realize that man's greatest need is salvation. I've been praying for my political leaders. A lot of them I'm not very happy with. Matter of fact, a lot of them just flat ticked me off. I don't understand these people. I understand their mind. I understand their thinking. I don't understand the concept of their thoughts or where it comes from, or even if they have something to think with. But you know, the truth of the matter is, and nothing could straighten out President of this United States or the governor of this state of California but a good old-fashioned dose of Holy Ghost salvation. You say, yeah, but Pastor Johnson, they won't listen. Well, that's their fault. But some, God help them. I hope somebody's talking to them about their soul. I hope somebody's telling them about salvation. But that's it. Now, listen to me. Let's keep it simple. Concerning the soul of man, my salvation is in Christ. Anybody else's salvation is in Christ. Now, Christian, look at me. How dare you go through life and never tell another soul about Christ? That's wrong. You understand? You got people around you. I've had people come to me and say, well, I have a loved one who died. Now I ask them, were they a Christian? Well, I never asked them. And I think to myself, what? Look at me. What? You mean to tell me your dad, your mom, your grandma, grandpa, aunts, uncles, cousins, brothers, sisters, anybody else, you mean to tell me you lived among them and you never asked them about their soul? You never asked about whether or not they went to heaven, whether or not they knew they had eternal life? You mean you never said anything? Well, we're not supposed to talk religion. Don't talk religion. Talk salvation. I'm sorry. I know people think that because of the complexity of our lives, people need to understand their background and their history and where they come from and what their life was like and what it's been and where they're going. I'll tell you what you need, friend. Everybody that breathes needs God. They need salvation, and salvation's in Christ, period. That's their need. You know, it's interesting. You travel around the world and people say, well, you're going to a Hindu country now. And 97% of people, or 98% of people in India are Hindu. They have 330 million gods in their religion. And you think, well, those people have had no background whatsoever. You know what? We've gone to villages where they've never even seen a white man before, stood up with a Bible in our hands, King James Bible, by the way, stood up with a Bible in our hands, preached Christ to them, and saw them trust Christ and get saved. Just like that. Saw it happen in communist countries like in Belarus. Stood on street corners and gave out the gospel and saw people bow their head and receive Christ as their Savior, who were growing up their first day of school and every day of school in their life. In a communist country, this teacher starts with, good morning, children. God is dead. There is no God. And they've heard that since they were children. And one simple presentation of the gospel, they trust Christ and get saved. Don't tell me there's not power in that gospel. Hey, let's keep it simple, ladies and gentlemen. You got that? Listen to me. Let's at least be concerned about the souls of people who are around us. Our own people, our own flesh and blood. How about your friends? How about people with whom you work? What about that this morning? Hey, let's keep it simple concerning the souls of men and women and children and people. Number two, it's getting complicated. Now stay with me. Let's keep it simple concerning our living. Say, well, now there's the problem, Pastor Johnson. No, that's where we start making the problem. You know what it says? And I was going to preach the whole thing from this one. Listen, I'll read it to you. Micah 6 in verse number 8. Here it says, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Do justly. You know what just means? Do the right thing. Love mercy. Give it and receive it. And number three, humble yourself. Quit being such proud peacocks about things. God says, that's all I'm asking. Pretty simple, isn't it? Now, this is the children of Israel, and they had Leviticus and all the rules about the sacrifices where you had to put the liver and the caul and the guts and the feet and the toes and the nose and all this stuff everywhere else and burn this and hold on to that, take that and throw it over your shoulder. I mean, they had all these rules that they had to follow. And here's God coming to them generations later saying, let's just make it simple. Let's just make it simple. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, in the end of his days, after all of his wisdom attained and accrued, after everything he owned and he possessed, he still had it all. He comes to the end of his life, and he says, you know, everything's kind of worthless, but I'll tell you what I found out. This is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. See, Pastor, are you going to tell us just do right and do what the Bible says? Yes. Hey, look at me. Yes, and don't get it any more complicated than that one, Spanky. Yes, just do what God said. That's it. Wow, come on, Pastor Johnson. I mean, that simple statement just doesn't work in the year of 2022. There's just too much stuff out there. There's too many avenues to follow, and there's too many roads to go. Yeah, that's the problem. The bottom line is just do what God says. That's it. So that'll fix everything. You know what it'll do? It'll set you on the right path. It'll keep you on the right path. It'll direct you on the right path. It'll help you get to the end of the right path. It'll guide you, direct you, help you, strengthen you, lead you. It'll keep you off the wrong path. It'll keep you away from the devil. It'll keep you out of sin. It'll keep you on a righteousness. I'll tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, just do what God said. That's what it comes down to. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. Let's just keep it simple this year. I'm going to do what the Bible tells me to do. See, that's what happens to Christians. All of a sudden they think, well, I know what the Bible says, but see, I don't have to do that. Who gave you an excuse? Hello? Who gave you an excuse to excuse yourself from what the Bible tells everybody else to do? There are things that the Bible tells all Christians to do. Then there are things that God wants each of us as Christians to do. Those each of us things are found out as you do God's will and live in God's will. But when it comes to the rest of it, pal, let me tell you something. Whatever God tells any child of God to do, any child of God is supposed to do. Now, we've let this COVID thing, I'm afraid, kind of mess with our thinking that somehow or another, because of this, what we need to do now is different than ever before. Now, I understand there's some... No, we want to remind you. You get sick, stay home. All right? Are we smart about that? We want to be careful. You want to wear a mask? Wear a mask. You want to get the shot? Get the shot. You don't want to get one? Don't get one. And we're not going to fuss about it, and we're not going to get upset with folks. When I announced my wife and I got the vaccine, we did it after long periods of prayer and consideration. We got it. I had people get mad at me. Well, first of all, you drop dead. Because if I want to get one, I'll get one. That's my job. If you don't want one, you don't have to. But don't tell me what to do with my health. You know, it's funny. Those same people say, I want the government telling me what to do. But you're going to tell me what to do with mine. So, again, if you... Well, that didn't go over too good, did it? For all you folks who are sitting home because you didn't like your preacher getting vaccinated, you can go ahead and come back to church now. The truth of the matter, and I don't care. You don't want it, don't do it. Right? Are we clear? And if you want to, then do it. And if somebody else doesn't want to do that, then that's their business. I didn't get vaccinated because the government told me to. I did it because I wanted to do it, because I prayed about it, and that's why I believe God wanted. So I did it. Okay? That's for Mike Johnson. You don't want to do it? Fine. We got people in. Got people saying, well, Pastor, you understand it'll alter your DNA. Most of those people need their DNA altered. You need to quit passing that on. Seriously. That one's, oh, yeah, the CIA implant in your body. They already know where you are. You have a phone. They know right now you're sitting here in church not paying attention. They already know. So, hey, so Listen to me. The truth of the matter is, but you got to do what you know God wants you to do. So if that's, look at me, that goes in any area of your life. Let's just do the right thing. Okay? But it's not right by what I think, and it's not right by what you think. It's right by what God says, and that's what we're going to do. Then we'll just keep it simple. Keep it simple. Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with thy God. Micah 6:8 will keep you busy for the rest of your life. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm going to make, you know, this 2022, ladies and gentlemen, we don't know. We'll get to that in a minute. We don't know what the future holds, and we know who holds the future. It's a great statement. It works too, by the way. But the truth of the matter is, here's the deal. See, when my determination is, wait, not to do right when I'm faced with it. I'm going to do right when it comes up. I've already decided I'm going to do the right thing. So when the right thing comes up, I'm doing the right thing. That kind of sets the caption for the rest of your days of breathing and walking on this planet. Instead of letting life and circumstances and events control the way you live and what you do. Uh-oh. No. Let's keep it simple. But how we're going to live our lives, we're going to do the right thing. Sometimes when our kids are little, they say, well, Daddy, do we have to go to church today? I said, nope, we get to go to church today. We don't have to, but we get to. Some of you folks, you need to remember that one. You used to go to church real faithfully, and all of a sudden you've decided you don't need to do that. You're wrong. Not forsaking the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, not so much the less. That's good. And for our friends who are watching us on the internet this morning, some of you dear people, you're sitting home and you need to be home. You don't need to get out in this stuff. I understand that. That's what that's for. But it's not for people to sit home on a recliner and watch church on television. That's not what that's for. Good. The camera just made a face at me. All right. Come on, people, we're letting this whole thing just absolutely uproot our lives. Well, it's like church. No, it's not. Forsaking the assembling meet. Okay, never mind. Let's just do the right thing here. What do you say? So we're going to go to work tomorrow. What are we going to do? We're going to do the right thing. We're going to keep it simple. Yeah, just keep it simple. I'm going to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with my God. I'm just going to do what he tells me to do. I'm going to make my mind up. I'm going to follow the word of God. It's going to be the lamp to my feet, light to my path, and I'm going to do what the Bible tells me to do. Let's hurry to point three because that's the last one. Let's keep it simple concerning the future. Well, Pastor, we don't know the future. And there you go. Did you think 2 years later we'd still be dealing with this stuff? Huh? Did you? I thought for sure it'd be over in 6 months. No. It's still very real. Hello? And it's like 9/11. It's one of those things that has altered our nation, our world. So now what? What's going to happen with the other strains and viruses? What's going to happen? What's going to happen in the political realm? What's going to happen? What's that all going to be? Some of you right now, you're starting to get, your hands are shaking because you're thinking, boy, I have no idea. What am I going to do? I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep it simple. See, if I'm doing what God tells me to do, then anything that gets to me comes from him to me. Doesn't come from the government. It comes from him to me. So it's all right. God's still alive. I say it again. God is still alive. Oh, yes, he is. God is still on the throne. Oh, yes, he is. Driving to church this morning, I was listening to the song, The Wall of Prayer, and I was thinking, man, I hope somebody sings that soon. And they got up and sang it. I listened to the radio, heard them sing, the choir sing a Bust a Move on It Is Well With My Soul. See, what's Bust a Move? That's a good choir number. And It Is Well With My Soul. I said, man, I hope we get to sing that in church this morning. And we sang it. See, what does that mean? I don't know. Maybe there's like God. And he decided two songs would encourage my heart even more and assure me in my mind that everything's all right and God's on the throne and everything's okay because God is on the throne and everything will be okay. But I don't know how to go. Good night, people. They'll start putting masks on babies before it's over. I don't know. Who knows? The point about the future and keeping it simple is leave it in his hands. That's where it should be because you can't do anything about it anyway. And go ahead and just trust that God knows what he's doing and God's going to get us through this thing and God's word will guide us and his will is ahead of us and God knows what's going on. God didn't look down from heaven and go, oh, they're still doing with that. No, he's still ahead of us. Back when this thing all broke out, I preached sermons about how God has been ahead of us in all this stuff. He's still ahead of us in all this stuff. So I'm not going to sit around and wonder, worry. I tell you one thing I've done. I quit watching the news. I did. I watched it to the local news to pick up on the weather and the rest of it. Pfft, that's for Hebrew for I ain't doing it. Some of you folks, bless your heart. I don't know how you made it this far as scared as you are. Fearful. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So, well, you don't care what goes on. Oh, I care very much. Very much. It concerns me where we're at, what's going on. There are a lot of things I'm concerned about, people. But I'm not going to worry about it because that's not my job. His job is to take care of it. All things work together for good. That is God's. To them that love God, to them are the called according to his purpose. That's mine. Let him do his, I'll do mine. Everything's going to be fine. God knows what he's doing. God will bring to us what's necessary. God will take from us what is unnecessary. It's not a bad prospect. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Do you get the principle? Faith first, substance second. Evidence comes after faith. You want to know how it's all going to go? My faith will help me to realize and see what God's going to do, and he'll take care of it. God knows. God knows. So I'm sitting in an airport, and there's a man there with a cat. Now, you know I'm not a cat fan. My grandkids will ask me why. I say it's because I'm saved. I'm not a cat fan. Bless you folks that have cats. That's your business. God will help you. This man had a cat on a leash in the airport. Yeah. And we're sitting in a waiting area, and he's walking his cat around. And I'm thinking, I think I would rather see him with a pet gorilla. I was on a plane one time. This guy turned two Great Danes loose on the plane, and they were walking up and down the aisle. I said, this is a third world airline? This man's walking his cat around. I thought, cat. I'm allergic to most cats. Not all of them, but just most of them. Any of the ones with four legs. And I get on the airplane, and I sit down. Are you ready? Are you ready? The dude sits across the aisle from me with his cat. And I just started laughing. I thought it was hilarious. I was thinking, well, he's on another airplane. You know, and if he's on the same plane, he's in the front, I'm in the back, we're in the middle. He'll be, no. That dude has to sit right next to me with a little kitty in the basket. And I just, yeah, that's what I said. Lord, you got a sense of humor. Honestly, you know, you saw me in that waiting room thinking, man, what is wrong with that guy? He's got a cat. I got one. He's right here across the aisle from me. Got a little kitty cat in the basket right there next to us. God just brought that man from nowhere and put him on that airplane. Probably an angel with a cat to bring the cat on the airplane to sit him across the aisle from a guy who's not a cat lover. Why? Just to show me that there is a God in heaven. See, that's not my job. My job is to do justly and love mercy and walk humbly with my God. When it comes to the future, I have no idea. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to fret over it. I'm not going to sit around and figure out all the conspiracy that's involved in it. You're wasting your time, people. Think about, remember Y2K? Huh? Remember Y2K? That's not an app on your phone. Y2K is when the calendar went to 2000. They told us the banks were going to crash, money would be not worth anything. People were stocking dried goods in their basement, dried beans and dried all that junk down there because the stores were going to, money was going to crash, the banks were going to go out of business. Remember all that Y2K stuff? Remember that? Okay. What'd they do with all that dried food? Yeah, I hope they ate it. Truth is, but you see what I'm saying? People, God knows what he's doing. That doesn't mean we're oblivious. It simply means I'm in his hands. He's my God. He's my Father. He's watching over me. Everything's going to be all right. Hey, keep it simple about the future. What do you say? God knows there's sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I got to do just enough for this day to make it work. That's it. Remember that, Brother Cox, when we were in Africa in that van for 17 hours driving across there? Boom, 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 boom. We punched a hole in the gas tank. We hit so many rocks. Crossing streams. 17 hours in that van. And he kept saying, well, we're not far from now. I thought, not far from Europe. Yeah, where are we going out here? We're driving all over the cotton picking place. You know how you go through 17 hours? I was sitting in a little wooden seat about like this, sitting on the side of a, on the inside of the van, not the outside, on the inside of the van, boom, 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 for 17 hours. You know how you do that? Marijuana. No, the truth of the matter is, you know how you do that? Hey, you just say, well, I'll just make it a little bit longer. Look, next turn in the road, next bend in the road. I don't know how it's going to go in 2022. I have no idea. I'm just going to take the next bend in the road, do what God tells me to do. Keep it simple. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning. Now, if you didn't like this sermon, we'll give